Shalom, welcome to Tehillim Yomi. Today we learn Psalm 120. We begin the Shir HaMa'alot. 15 Psalms begin with the title Shir HaMa'alot, a song of ascents. As far back as the 14th century, David ben Joseph Abu Draham, a Spanish liturgical commentator, records the custom of reciting all 15 Shir HaMa'alot Psalms every Shabbat. Several individual of these Psalms play prominent roles in Jewish liturgy. Psalm 26 is recited before Birkat HaMazon, the benediction after meals. Two psalms, Psalm 130, and which is I call out to you for the depths, and Psalm 121, which is I raise up my eyes to the mountains, are said when praying for a sick person or trying to overcome an impending tragedy. In addition, Psalm 130 is recited during the 10 days of repentance between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. What is the definition of these ascents, the ma'alot? The Mishnah in Sukkah relates that the 15 number relates to the number of stairs that joins the women's section to the men's section in the Beit HaMikdash. The Talmud tells a parable of how David sang these songs in order to calm the primeval waters that David had inadvertently caused to rise while preparing the foundations of the future temple. Others look to history for an understanding of these word of the word ascents, ma'alot, Rashi, Radak, and other medieval commentators claim that this phrase is based on a pasuk in Ezra, Yisud Hama'ala Mibabel, which means the beginning of the ascent from Babylon, dubbing those who return from Babel as Ma'aleh. Nowadays, our use of the word Aliyah to mean ascending or moving to Israel comes from the same source. While some commentators applied it to return from exile in the time of Ezra and Nehemiah, others consider it a general expression of yearning to return from the diaspora to the promised land. Rabbi Simson Rafael Hirsch interprets the ascent as a spiritual one. From our low spiritual depths, we call, pray, and sing to God to lift us up or to give us the ability to lift ourselves up to the greatest heights. A clear example would be Psalm 130, which says, Mima Makim, from the depths we call out to you. Yet a fourth group of exegetes define the phrase musically. Sadia Gaon and the Meiri claim that the title, like other titles in Psalms, such as Levanat Seach, to the conductor, is a musical instruction, meaning these songs are sung starting from a low note, ending on a high note. What one person relates to with religious fervor affects another by its ritualistic nature. What enlightens one person intellectually, as it depicts an important historical time period, influences another person emotionally due to its spiritual content. Their appeal to a wider audience renders these psalms significant in Jewish life. Amos Chacham sees in each psalm a poetic set of ascents, each verse building on the previous, such that the individual reciting it is ascending on many different levels. Shir HaMa'alot, El Adonai Batzarata Li Karati Vayaneni, a song of Ma'alot. In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and he answered me. Adonai, Hatsila nafshi misfat sheker milashan rimiya. Save my soul, Lord, from my lying lips and deceitful tongue. Mayitain lecha umayosif lecha lashon rimiya. What shall we give to you and what shall be done to you, O false tongue? Chitzei gibor shnunim im gichgachalei ritamim, sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of the broom tree. Oyali kigarti meshech shachanti imale kidar. Woe that I sojourn in meshech, that I dwell in the tents of Kedar. Rabat shachna lanafshim sone shalom. My soul has dwelt with those who hate peace. Ani shalom. V'chi adaber heima lemilchama. I am for peace, or I am peace. But when I speak, they are for war. The title verse immediately reveals the theme of the psalm. Trouble and God hearing his call. Verse 1 describes the event of calling out to God and God responding. Verse 2 presents that call. He turns directly to God, asking him to save his soul, and then explains what is plaguing him, a deceitful tongue. Whose tongue? Rashbam puts the psalm in historical context, saying it refers to those Jews who came up from Babel and then returned to Zion. There are other nations about whom the psalmist was afraid that they would seize the homes and occupy the cities. Their cities. Sforno perhaps expands on the Rashbam, explaining these psalms were written at a time when Israel had dominion over the other nations. Those nations unable to defeat Israel will start a slanderous campaign and hope to create unrest amongst the Israelis themselves. Meiri takes the opposite approach and suggests that the psalm is about Israel in exile and having to contend with slanderous nations persecuting him. Now, just like verse 2 built on verse 1, explaining the nature of the mentioned call to God, so too verse 3 builds on verse 2 as it focuses on one aspect of the previous one, the deceitful tongue. In a poetic personification, the psalmist speaks to that tongue and asks it, "What shall be done to you?" Radak brings a midrash which continues the personification, saying, "God created all limbs, standing P and U, tongue lie down." Excuse me. "God created all the limbs standing up, and you, tongue, lie down. All the limbs are on the outside, while you, tongue, are on the inside. Not only that, but you are surrounded by two walls, one of the bone and one of flesh. And after all that, you still have not guarded well." Rashbam, Sforno, and others see this just as a poetic tool to relate to the evil person who uses that tongue in a deceitful manner, and the psalmist calls to him, "What good will it bring to you to deceive?" Verse 4 continues to expound on the evils of the deceitful tongue. He compares that wicked person to sharp arrows, chitzei gibor shnunim. What does a person speaking ill have to do with sharp arrows? Radak, Mitzudot, and Malbin explain beautifully, just as the valiant warrior has perfected his wartime strategies with his arrows, that he can kill from a far distance, so too one who spreads lies, gossips, and exaggerates truths can cause great harm from afar. Verse 5 continues his woes as he laments with whom he is stuck sojourning, Meshech and the tents of Kedar. Ibn Ezra quotes Josephus, who identifies Meshech as people of Toscana, and the tents of Kedar as Arabs. Sforno, who identifies this psalm with Israel in control, translates this as what is the psalmist refers back to a time when they lived among other nations and learned their ways. Now he's concerned that they're applying those negative traits to themselves. The final two verses speak of the pathos of the psalmist, who seeks to live in peace, but has for a while been forced to dwell with people who think only of war. He poetically states, "Ani Shalom," which literally means, "I am peace," but should be understood as, "I believe in peace," while they just want war. Malbim connects the position of the enemies with the theme of the rest of the psalm by saying that when the psalmist speaks of peace, his adversaries also agree and say, we too are about peace. And then they have attacked in war, revealing their deceitful tongues and making the psalmist call out to God in distress. But thankfully, God responded and he overcame his enemies.